corporate homie.
The imposter syndrome.
I still think people are going to figure out I'm not really that talented.
Go back to your hero sheet.
Man, we sure are on a lucky streak. Fighting the fraud, fighting the imposter syndrome.
On today's episode of Corporate Homie,
how to beat procrastination.
I know I didn't really get done what I was supposed to get done today, but
half of the people are just like you.
I'm going to walk out and try out Gucci.
What up, homies?
Woo-hoo. Welcome back to the Corporate Homie Podcast. This podcast is all about how to beat procrastination.
How to beat procrastination.
We actually scheduled this show 3 times before I was ready to do it, so I struggled with this procrastination joint for this one.
She's not joking. That's for real.
The struggle is real. So I think that at some point in time, everyone struggles with some form of procrastination. And for me, that can look like sometimes getting myself ready to sit down to do a task. Sometimes that procrastination looks like a lifestyle change that I'm trying to make, whether it's eating clean. Sometimes that is, you know, trying to get quiet time with God in the morning and doing that on a consistent basis. And sometimes that looks like my workout routine, or, you know, spending time with my family. Dee, how would you, you know, say procrastination shows up for you?
No, I think that's right. I mean, I actually was struggling with a bit of procrastination at the top of the year. Instead of feeling completely invigorated and ready to start the new year, I was finding a hard time of getting myself into the groove. I wondered, which is how the episode was sort of born, I wondered how many times that happens when you come out of a great vacation or off of a big trial, that then you're finding that you're having a hard time getting back into the groove. And so what I found out is that 20% of people are chronic procrastinators. I mean, that's a lot of people. If that was a disease, that we would call that a syndrome. If there was a mental something, we would call it a syndrome. I got really fascinated with it and was trying to get my own self out of a slump and found this book that I just thought was amazing, about 15 secrets successful people know about time management by Kevin Kruse. That's Kruse. And that sort of jump started. But what I first learned before that is that there's 5 types of procrastinators. And frankly, to tell you the truth, and this is not in the book, I learned this on a Monday morning motivation call. I feel like I have been all 5 of these at some time. And sometimes I'm all 5 in 1 week. But there's the thrill seeker, right? The person who's like, I can't get stuff done unless it's a burning deadline. I have to wait until the last minute to start because that's when I do my best work. So that's the first type of procrastinator. The second one is the avoider. Is it the person who keeps just putting it off, you know, moving it to the bottom of the task list? The third person or type of procrastinator is the perfectionist. It's the person who wants to do the task, but because all of the circumstances are not completely optimal, they can't start the task. So they would like to go to the gym, to use Bimitra's analogy. They'd like to start losing weight, but they need to have eaten clean. They need to have their workout clothes completely correct. They need a new pair of shoes. They need optimal circumstances. And so because they don't have optimal circumstances, they can't get started. Then there's just the person who's like an indecisive decision maker. They want to get started, but they're not sure which path they want to go on. They're not sure if they want to do the paleo diet or if they want to do the intermittent fasting. And because they haven't decided which one of these they want to go down, they don't do anything. They can't get started. And then the last one is the busy bee, the person that just has so much on their plate. They're so busy doing all other things that they're actually not getting the most important things on their list done.
So real talk for me. Bimitra is busy bee. So what I do is I don't even tell myself I'm procrastinating. I just put a bunch of low level knucklehead tasks that I scratch off, and I'm like, I know I didn't really get done what I was supposed to get done today, but look at these other 8 things I got done. And sometimes when I've had a day, where I ain't got nothing done, I'll add 8 things I know I already did, write them on the list, put them in different orders, and then scratch them off. And I'm like, don't you tell me I didn't have a good day. So I will put a lot of menial tasks on my list to make myself feel productive, because I won't even tell myself, dude, hashtag knock it off.
Well, that's funny you would say that, because they say that 41% of things on to-do lists never get done, but 50% of things on to-do lists get done within the first hour being added to the to-do list. So again, most people are like you. Half of the people are just like you. They're like, I need to call Vimitra. Put that on the task list, call Vimitra.
I just did it this morning. I hadn't sat down to do something. I'm like, well, I did do this. Let me put that in here. Let me prep for that. Those are 3 things I knocked off my to-do list. You're doing great.
You're doing great. So one of the things that the book talked about to get yourself out of this procrastination rush is that, one, there's only 1,440 minutes in each day. And so now at the top of every one of my planner lists, and you guys have seen me put my planner up many times on social media, and I will likely do that again after we air this podcast, I write at the top of my to-do list now 1,440, so that I understand that time is of the essence. The reason for that is that it keeps you from just tricking time off and being more cognizant of that. The author said something about he put the 1440 on a piece of paper and put it on his door. And then when people came in to ask questions, they would be like, hey, what is this on your door? And he would say, oh, that's how many minutes are in the day. And he found just having that on his door made people say, you know what?
Never mind. Go back to my office and get some stuff done.
I could just email you. I don't actually need to meet with you.
I think one of the things that really helps me when I'm struggling with procrastination is tying it to like a small treat. So if I go to the gym, then I get to watch a trashy reality television show while I'm at the gym, on my iPad, or read a pop culture magazine or something like that. So tying a small treat to actually getting started really helps me.
Oh, that's interesting, because one of the things I find that I am much less likely to procrastinate depending on how I start my day. So if I start my day with a workout and then a little quiet time with Jesus, or some people would have meditation, I tell them all about my troubles, right? But if I start with a workout before I check email, I'm saying like, do not check email, because I think we've talked about this before in the productivity podcast, that makes you have a very reactive day. But if I work out and have some quiet time, and then I feel like I'm just more centered. And then what I usually do, and I got this from the book, is I now set a most important task of the day. So no matter what the day looks like, no matter how it comes at me, no matter what gets pulled from me, I know I've got to get that done. So like today on March 9th, 2017, the most important task of Demetra's day is I have to finish all of my bills. I know that I am going to be out of the office on Monday. So tomorrow I need to get some other stuff done. So today's important task that I will not leave without doing is bills. So that helps me rearrange when other things keep going on.
So for me, you said for you, you know, how you start your day. For me, it's really how I end the day. If I get in the bed at a reasonable time and get a good night's rest, I find that I have more productive days and I can get up and be ready to attack the day. And I know that that sounds simple, but, you know, especially I'm not a sleeper, as you know, I have to really fight to get 7 hours of sleep. And sometimes I just did it the other night. I'll get started to do something knucklehead, like putting in my den at 11:45 PM. And then I literally have to say, what are you doing?
Time to go to bed.
So now my Fitbit tells me, hey, it's time to wind down. And that, as simple as that sounds, it helps me, which is why I bought the Fitbit, get in the bed. Because if you don't get a good night's sleep, you can't get up and go to the gym and have your quiet time. and be centered and ready to get to the day.
I have that on my Fitbit too, because I'm such a night owl, just to tell me, like, to the extent you were about to start rearranging the garage, because I'll be doing something like that, when the Fitbit said time to wind down, I'm like, oh, okay, probably right, like, I probably shouldn't start that task now, because it's time to be getting ready for night.
And sometimes mine doesn't work, because then Demetra FaceTimes me and talks to me for an hour, and then she falls asleep, and it was like, girl, I'm sleepy, and now I'm wired, and then she keeps me up another hour.
I gotta get my rest. So another thing I got from the book, and I didn't think I would be able to do this, when I say this book has changed my life, it has given me life, and I was already productive, but it has put my productivity on 100,000 trillion. The next thing is, I don't check email all day long anymore. So I used to check email all day long, and now I check email like 5 times a day. I check it before I leave the house in the morning. I check it sort of mid-morning in the office, then midday, then in the evening before I leave the office. So 3 times in the office. And then I check it again at night. And what I do is, you guys know, I love a timer. I set a timer, and I set a timer for 30 minutes. Or if I've been like in court, like yesterday I was in court most of the day, so my email was, I had a lot of emails of voluminous. Then I set a timer for 45 minutes and I just get through as much email as I can get through in 45 minutes.
I clear my entire desk off and only have whatever I need to do that task. So I call it the clean and clear as I go, because then I can't see the other things that I haven't gotten to, that printout or those financial statements for the other deal that I haven't yet worked on. So something about having a clean desk with just the materials that I need and my calculator, putting my phone on D&D, will help me kind of with that initial 5 minutes and then stay in there and get it done. But something about seeing all the other stuff on my desk, it distracts me. And so I find it more difficult to focus. So I call it the clean and clear as you go.
Yeah. Another thing I do with this procrastination piece is I have a rule now. I want to touch and go, right? I don't want to keep coming back to the email multiple times. So if I actually mess around and read it, then I've got to do something with it. I have to, you know, address the email, delegate the email, calendar another time to do it, delete it, or file it. So instead of, like, I used to look at stuff, think, oh, okay, I'm going to get to that, I go ahead and get to it when I'm in the email. And so that, I think, cuts down on the procrastination, because I have a rule now for myself that I'd like to touch the email one time, as opposed to when I look back on it now, I was reading some emails 2 and 3 times. I read it on my phone. I think, well, I'm not ready to respond. I come back. Now I just make myself go ahead and respond and do something with it.
Yeah, that's awesome, because I'm horrible about that. Like you said, you'll read an email for 3 different times and intend to respond to it. As corny as this sounds, this does work for me. It's a similar to everything you've ever heard about getting anything done, is visualize completing the task. And, you know, I am really like old-fashioned athlete, and that, like, I don't really enjoy, you know, certain things like getting up early to go to the gym, but I like how I feel once I finish. And so I'll visualize myself finishing whatever that task it is, you know, and that sense of pride that I have. And you know what? I said, still, I got this done. I've been meaning to get this done. I got it done. I feel good about myself. I'll try to visualize what that looks like, and then how I'm not going to be stressed out in tomorrow's day because I didn't get to it today. And so sometimes that means that I'm going to work another hour and a half on Wednesday so that I can get out of the office on Thursday. So for example, I visualize what it looks like to leave on Friday at 3:30. If I stay in the office on Wednesday at 6:30, I say, well, you know what? It's going to be sunny on Friday, and I'm going to be looking at the water,
and I'm going to walk out in triumph.
I'm going to walk out in triumph in our This Is Us Randall voice. Exactly. Yes.
That's interesting. So I feel like email is the thing that keeps me. So lots of my tips are about email, because I feel like email is the thing that keeps me procrastinating. Right. So I believe law of attraction, or you reap what you sow. If you are sowing a bunch of email, you're going to get a bunch of email. So
hello, somebody.
Right. So I try to cut down now on what I forward, reply to, all of that, in an effort to get less. And then I use a lot of in the subject line to help people so that they will then, you know, feel gracious and do the same for me. FYI or NRN, no reason to respond. You don't need to respond to this, right? And EOM, this is the end of the message. Like, what's in the subject line is done. And so That's my next tip, is like to keep procrastination is get less email. So send less email to get less email.
You know, for me, you know, I'm not above some good old fashioned, you know, Southern shaming. Something about me saying to somebody when I'm going to get it to them, and I don't want to let people down. So if I say, okay, I'm going to get this report to you by 3 o'clock, then I'm going to get that report done, because now we're going back to what we talked about, being a rock star homie, doing what you say you're going to do. So something about committing publicly, whether that be to your assistant or your fellow coworker or whomever, like, I'm going to get this done. I told you I was going to get this done to you by this time. And then making yourself, you know, honor your word and be a person of your word. So I say pre-committing publicly.
You know, that's really interesting too, because one of the things that I have completely done is started calendaring my to-do list. So one of the big tips, the biggest tip I got from the book, was stop functioning off of the to-do list. So the book says to stop keeping a to-do list. That hasn't really happened.
That's not
going to
work for you, because you have color-coded to-do list.
Right. I still keep a to-do list. But now what I do is at the end of the night or first thing in the morning, depending on how the day is going, I take the to-do list and I put times on my calendar to do the action items. So I will put on my calendar, like if I know I need to read motions, I need to read motions, then I have on my calendar now, I block time for motion readers. So I'll have like the case name and we're going to read motion, read the three motions. Or I have a designated time now every day that I'm taking phone calls. So I know now I'm not going to be on the phone willy-nilly talking all day. I'm going to take and return phone calls between 2 and 4. And so I find that, and I did this the other day, I was standing in someone's office, we were shooting a breeze. I looked at my watch and I was like, oh, I got to go. I have a 1 o'clock. And they were like, oh, okay. But my 1 o'clock was motion reading. It was an appointment with me. It also means that I, because I have calendared the most important task and other things I need to get done, I've realized I have too many things on my to-do list. There's no way I could get it all done in one day. So then I start moving things to the next day, because I already know, like Bimitra says, I won't be able to get you to report today, because if I actually go ahead and work this to-do list out and put every task in a time slot, we're out of time. We are now on to Thursday. So now I start working things out to Thursday. And what I find is that even if it's not till Friday, I'm able to say to people, like you said, Bimitra, I can commit publicly. Hey, can I get that to you Friday? Close it. And then people are like, yes.
I was just going to say, I find that when you do that and you say to somebody, hey, this is based on everything I have on my desk right now, I'm not going to be able to get that to you until then. They prefer that. Then you tell them you're going to get it to them on Wednesday and you're really not going to get it to them until Thursday afternoon. One of the other things that really works well for me, no different than when I'm at the gym and I'm trying to make myself do cardio and I have a power song, I have a procrastination power song. So when I get ready to...
A procrastination power song.
I do.
What is it?
Gucci Mane, Waste It. Rockstar lifestyle might don't make waste. Living
life, every day click waste. Wasted is the procrastination power song.
It's just upbeat. It's not about the lyrics. So... I literally
knew you were going to say like T.I. motivation. Gotta get on your job, tell them. Haters, get on your job. Motivation.
Get on your job, tell them. Haters, get on your job. Hey, motivation. No. No, it's gutter goodness. So when I put my earphones in to sit down and underwrite, me and Gucci, and then I can get into the financial statements.
Well, that's, you know, that's funny because music.
Get you a procrastination power song.
Well, we put on the Facebook page recently an article about how music can help you get work done. I do find that when I check email, there is, I don't know what they're calling Pandora, a list. What do you call it? A channel?
Playlist. There's
A channel on Pandora that's called like classical study. And I put that on to check my email. And I have found that since when I really do not want to check my email, like I've been in court, I was out the office and there's like 182 emails that need to be gone through. I will put that channel on. And there's something about that soothing. It's called like classical study or something like that. Let me see if I can look it up. It's called like classical study channel. And it will help me, I guess, because it's not lyrics and your mind can completely. Yeah. Classical for study and radio is the name of the channel. Mm. I listen to that. And that is how I get through really, really laborious, tedious tasks. My next tip is, and I think I may have gotten this from you, Bimitra. I read it in the book, but it reminded me of you. And I'm not sure if it's if it's true, but I now have a weekly huddle. So I get other people involved in my procrastination.
That's all me, dog.
Right. So, so that's all her. And then I saw, read it again in the book and it solidified it. So now I have a meeting with all of the people who support me, not the necessarily associates, but all the support staff people. And we have a quick, and I do mean quick, 15-minute meeting about everything that's on the calendar for the next 2 weeks. And we always go through it every 2 weeks. This is what we just walk through each day. It also gives them a chance because I travel, I'm on the road. They're not always able to get with me in the way that they need to. It gives them a chance to say, like, I had a question for you. I needed you. I need this thing from you. And I set a timer in the meeting. And I set the timer not just to keep me honest, but to let them know that I am judicious with their time and I'm not trying to suck their day up with this meeting.
Right. And I think it's like a college professor office hours. You know, they know that they can catch you during that time. You know that you can catch them, because I don't know about you guys, but nothing is more frustrating than you don't realize that it's 5 o'clock and you go to ask your assistant something and it's 5:02 and you got taillights in the parking lot. You know, she's gone. Our huddle for me and my support staff is Friday mornings at 10 a.m. And so it's forward looking of what do we get done this week and then what do we have going on next week. And sometimes it takes 15 minutes, sometimes it takes 5 minutes, but I promise them that it'll never take more than 20, so that, you know, we're not having like another meeting that they have to go to.
Yeah. And mine is Monday mornings at 10 a.m. And it's the same thing. And it has been life changing. So that's a great tip. That's a B tip, not a D tip.
And my final tip is don't beat yourself up for past procrastination. You know, it's like a lot of things that we talk about in the podcast for the homies, in that you can start to implement these things tomorrow, actually 10 minutes after you hang up, you press in from listening to the podcast. So if you have historically been a terrible procrastinator, that has nothing to do with how you're going to attack your day tomorrow or the second half of your day this afternoon if you're listening to this morning. That's the genius and the beauty of it.
That's why I think that is a really great point. And I think there's a misunderstanding, and the book talks about this, and it certainly was for me, that procrastination is about laziness. And so I think that's part of why you beat yourself up, is you think you're being lazy. But procrastination really isn't about laziness. Is it's mostly about there's just other things that you would rather do. You're not sufficiently motivated to do this thing. And so I love, there were two quotes in the book that really stuck with me. And the book is a compilation of really successful people across a span of their athletes, their CEOs, their artists. And they were finding these were the common things among highly successful people, regardless of their industry. So it's like when people say, you know, I find them in my industry. No, what we're finding
is that it takes hustle.
Right. It takes hustle. It takes hustle
and hard work.
Industry. Right. So two quotes that really stuck with me. Steve Jobs was quoted in the book as saying, focus is about saying no. And then there was a quote from Warren Buffett. And I love Warren Buffett. I really love Warren Buffett. But it says the difference between successful people and the very successful people is the very successful people say no to almost everything. Like, let that sink in. Not the difference between the average and successful. The difference between people who are already successful and the very successful is very successful people learn to say no. And I think part of that is keeping your calendar, knowing what you have room for, not committing to things too early. I've certainly made that problem. I will commit to a speech 6 months from now, and then something better will come along. And then I will realize, oh, I wanted to do that because I, as B.B. King said, I made my move too soon. So don't be afraid to say no. And I feel like that's going to be its own podcast one day, because I feel like that is becoming a recurring theme. And our advice is the art of no, that no is a complete sentence.
Outstanding. So hopefully you have found these tips to be helpful. Hopefully you realize that you're not the only person that struggles with procrastination, and it doesn't mean that you are a lazy deadbeat. And as always, we want to hear from you. Please tweet us, follow us on Facebook, hit us up on the gram. As always, we're a corporate homie, HOMIE, and we would love to hear from you, hear your feedback. If you are finding the tips to be helpful, we want to hear about the testimonials. If you're not finding the tips to be helpful, we want to know that too. Thank you so much for listening. And until next time,
hustle hard, homies.
all of you, get you a twin. Get you another homie.